You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. We already have turned the page to week 13. We got you your pickup Tuesday advice on guys that you can help your fantasy team with. So now we can transition to going into the games. If you go to SN, I have the picks against the spread and the power rankings. And that gives you an idea of how these games might go. And that is a very helpful tool in fantasy football. And that's what we do on Wednesdays here. Matchup Wednesday, breaking down all the games on the schedule, both sides, giving you how we think these games are going to go, how your studs might fare in these particular games, what matchups that you may want to avoid or exploit here this upcoming week. And it's also Draft Wednesday, and that's a great thing for you guys because you can get in on the action in fantasy football at Draft. And I've set up a special draft there called Locked On Fantasy Football. It's a four-person draft there. It's for Sunday's games and Monday with 15 total there. So you can get on the action. We're going to do that at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time later today. So check that out. I've already put that on Facebook, and you can get into the action there. I'll tweet out the link here as soon as the show goes up here. So you will check that out, and you can join and get in on the fun. It's a $3 league, but we'll give you details how to take advantage of that. You can actually get a free entry there by entering the code LONFL. That's LONFL. So we'll give you more on that a little later in the show, but let's dive into our busy schedule first. And it's the Redskins and Cowboys playing again on Thursday, a week after Thanksgiving. The Cowboys lost pretty badly. The Redskins won in an ugly fashion against the Giants, but it still counted either way. This one's a very tight one. Some people have the Redskins favored, some of the Cowboys. It's pretty close here. I kind of like the Cowboys in this game, but I don't feel like either team can pull away from the other. I just don't think they're capable. The Redskins have a lot of offensive line issues, and that's going to help the Cowboys up front a little bit, and the Cowboys all kinds of other offensive issues as well. So what I expect from this game is a whole lot of a conservative play, running the football. I kind of like Kirk Cousins in this one to keep things going. The first game was an absolute disaster in the bad weather there in Washington for Cousins. They like Jamison Crowder keep things going, Josh Doctson as well. So those two guys are going to be the primary targets. Probably need a little bit more Vernon Davis to block. And the Cowboys actually with Byron Jones have been good against that position. So Vernon Davis, hard to trust him when he didn't get on the board at all in that great matchup against the Giants. So I think you're going to see a lot of Crowder all over the field and a little bit of Doctson in the red zone. But this team is going to try to run Samaje Perine as much as possible. And so Perine is an excellent start here. The volume is just too good to ignore without Rob Kelly and Chris Thompson in there. So Perine, you feel really good about. Cousins, I think you have to expect a little bit of a low ceiling with him. It's a Thursday game here. Even with the extra week, it's just can be a little bit wonky here. It's on the road. The Cowboys defense should overachieve a little bit. So I really like looking at Crowder in a lot of leagues this week as a wide receiver two. Doctson is a wide receiver three for me because of the scoring potential. But I think Cousins is more of a lower end QB one this week. But you got to trust him with all the things that are around him at this point. From the Cowboys' perspective, I still am a little worried about Dak Prescott. I don't think I can press him into action here. The Redskins secondary is pretty good. What I expect from the Cowboys is a ton of running here. I think they expect Zach Martin to play in this game at guard, so that's going to be a big help. They're going to just road grade. You can run on the Redskins' beat-up defensive line and a front hitter. So I think you'll see a lot of Alfred Morris, a lot of Rod Smith, maybe a little Prescott running as well, and some Jason Witten action as well. So all kinds of little things here. I think the Cowboys will play a lot better offensively and defensively when this game. And I still hesitate on Prescott. You can reach for Witten if you need him. I stay away from Dez Bryant with his slump and Josh Norman on the other side, but I do really like the Cowboys running backs in this game. Our next game at 1 o'clock there on Sunday, our first kick, is the Ravens, fresh off their Monday night win against Houston, hosting the Lions, who've had a long time to recover from that tough Thanksgiving home loss to the Vikings. And we'll start with the Lions side of things. And Lions are a bit unpredictable because their guys come through in tough matchups when you least expect it. Marvin Jones at this point is clearly making sure he's a number one receiver. You saw then that he handled Xavier Rhodes, even got double teamed and making a great catch there. Had the two scores, so there's no way you can sit Marvin Jones. He's on fire. Fought through two tough matchups against Chicago and Minnesota. Might get a lot of one-on-one coverage outside with Jimmy Smith, but we saw DeAndre Hopkins was able to make a lot of big plays there. So Marvin Jones is just balling out right now. Golden Tate's a bit of a slump, but I think you have to trust him still as being a rebound target. I know the Ravens' secondary and the pass defense is pretty tough, but they really haven't played top-level quarterbacks like Stafford. So I think you could still go with Stafford here. Again, I think he's a backdoor QB1 at best. He might be in the QB2 borderline this week because of this particular matchup. But if you got better options, you can go there. But Jones and Tate, definitely you're keeping in there. I don't know if I would extend there to like Eric Ebron or Kenny Galladay. Amir Abdullah, again, you're hoping that he gets a touchdown when you play him. This Ravens run defense is very good. We saw them give up a touchdown to Lamar Miller, but really shut him down otherwise. Brandon Williams in there, it's just a game changer. It's not the Ravens defense from earlier in the season when they didn't have Williams. So keep that in mind. I might pivot off Abdul, and Theo Riddick you absolutely cannot trust at this point, either with the touches being split between those two. On the Ravens side of things, I really don't love too much right now. I mean, the secondary with Darius Slay, I think Mike Wallace can be taken out. Jeremy Maclin working the slot is going to get some Quandre Diggs. So I don't really like anything in the Ravens passing game. I don't think you can trust Danny Woodhead or Buck Allen splitting that receiving role, and definitely not Joe Flacco. So the only Raven I like here is Alex Collins out of the backfield. Defensively, I think you could play them for sure because they play better home. But I actually like the Lions to maybe go in there and win this game with their passing game. So I just don't trust the Ravens on a short week, except for Collins, who's getting in the end zone as well when he's not having the most productive rushing day like happened against the Houston Texans. Our next game, and we found this out before we did the show, is that Jimmy Garoppolo will be starting for the 49ers in Chicago, making his 49ers starting debut. He came in the game, relieved C.J. Beathard. Beathard's still not right with that knee contusion he suffered against the Seahawks. So Garoppolo's in there. That makes the 49ers a lot more interesting. I think Carlos Hyde is a lot more viable now. The Bears can be run on and can give up some receiving pop there to backs. We saw their guard Blunt have a pretty good rushing game, the overall Eagles team. So I really like Carlos Hyde in this one to get things going. Garoppolo's presence gives them a legit passing game. So Marquise Goodwin is a guy that you can look at as well. He's come through kind of as their number one receiver here in recent weeks. You totally can't sleep on him, and he's available in a lot of leagues as well. So I think you'll see the principles of the 49ers play pretty well in this one. Garoppolo, I think he's more a 2QB league type guy and a pickup. I don't think you can totally start him with confidence, but you feel better about the guys in this 49ers offense with him in there because he's just a very good quarterback that's about to be tapped for his potential here in a very good offensive scheme. On the Bears side of things, Mitchell Trubisky, if you're a little risky here, not a bad place because you have Dontrell Inman, maybe Adam Shaheen can help him get some good points here, maybe a bit of Tarik Cohen and Jordan Howard. It could be a very Jordan Howard game, however, as well. So that might limit the upside of Trubisky. I think this could be a higher scoring game than we think. So a sneaky source of points this week. The over-under is only at 40, but I think they're going to exceed that here for sure. So Jordan Howard is probably the best start in this game. I think Carlos Hyde is a close second, and then the receivers suddenly come into play in this one as well. Now, I proceed with caution with the Chicago defense. I actually like the 49ers defense a little bit more because, remember, now they're the one facing the rookie quarterback while the Bears are not. So just keep that in mind here. But the 49ers could be a sneaky play, even with their depletion here, that they do have a few playmakers left there to make something happen. So Chicago, just be wary that the 49ers should be a better offense and more competent with less mistakes this week. Our next game is a pretty nice one here with the Vikings and Falcons. A lot on the line in the NFC playoff chase. 47 over under. So we expect some points in this one. Case Keenum is balling out. Matt Ryan is balling out. You have Adam Thielen. You have Julio Jones. Looks like Devonta Freeman might come back this week from the concussion. So you'll have Freeman and Tevin Coleman possibly working together for another big game here. And then on the other side, I think definitely it's Latavius Murray over Jerick McKinnon, but keep in mind the Falcons are vulnerable to receiving backs, and Murray and McKinnon could have some value here. So I expect the points to flow in this game pretty nicely here, and I think you want to get as many shares of it as you can. I mean, Matt Ryan, he's kind of stuck in that one TD mode. I think it's a good chance to get a couple plus the 300, especially with the Jones rolling, Mohamed Sanu rolling. Austin Hooper, I don't like as much. So this is going to be a lot of the receivers, a lot of throws to Coleman as well. So the wideouts and Coleman, and hopefully Freeman will be back this week. Even in a tough matchup that he's coming back, I think Freeman and Coleman can be effective. They're just that talented. And this Falcons offensive line is playing very well at the moment. So there's no too much fear there. I just wouldn't reach a little bit with this offense. On the Vikings side of things, I think you start your principles. I mean, I know they have Desmond Trufant on the other side, but Adam Thielen can work away as a slot. You might cool your jets on expecting big things out of Stephon Diggs, who's kind of been hit or miss, boom or bust here, but he's still a guy that you're definitely looking to play in this one. Latavius Murray, you have to. Case Keenum, you could look to. I don't think you have to force him into this lineup on the road. It could be a bit boom or bust as well for Keenum in this one. So at this point, with the all 32 teams in action, I don't think you have to force Keenum in there. I think he can definitely have a good game, but Matt Ryan at home, I like trust him and like him a little bit more in this one. So it should be a fun one. I think the two guys, both sides, Rudolph and Hooper, I think those could be left out of this mix as it becomes a spread the field and run the football type of game for these two teams. Our next matchup is the Patriots and Bills. And you look at this one, it's got a pretty high over-under to me. It's at 49, 48 in that range, but the Patriots are favored by 9. So I think they'll easily go over 30 points in this one. Rob Gronkowski has a tie to Buffalo in his past, so he usually plays well there. He's coming off a 2-touchdown game, so you feel good about that stack. If you use Brady and Gronkowski again in DFS, feel free to do that. You feel very good about Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead. This Bills run defense is pretty pathetic at this point. You feel good about Brandon Cooks with Noah Chris Hogan in there. He's just eating up the looks, targets, and production in that receiving core from Tom Brady. So that's the one thing that's come out of Hogan's injury. They're relying a lot more Cooks in the red zone and for those big plays as well. So if you're going onslaught this week in a DFS, which means loading up your guys, you can definitely go with maybe a Brady, Gronkowski, Cooks again. That express train is going to keep rolling. So I feel like the numbers would be very similar to the Miami game last week for the Patriots, and then maybe even a little bit more success because his Bills defense is kind of in a funk as well. So look for that to all come to fruition for the Patriots. You feel good about them. On the Bills side of things, if you need Tyrod Taylor as a 2QB-er or a streamer, you could look at him. He's always going to get his rushing yards. There's a chance for some garbage touchdowns. I think the one guy, Charles Clay, is going to look to a lot, but I think the Patriots of the past, if you recall, whether he's played for Miami or Buffalo, they're good at taking away Clay, especially with no Kelvin Benjamin out there. He's the main focus of the passing game. So with Patrick Chung and the guys that the Patriots have, I think they can take away Clay, force him to go elsewhere, take their chances with Zay Jones against their corners. So keep that in mind with the one thing they're going to take away. I think they can also contain LeSean McCoy here. I think he'll still get his with his receiving ability there to pad his rushing stats in this one. But I think Taylor, McCoy, they've shown that they're built to give you garbage points, and this could be a definite case for that. So I mentioned at the top of the show, Matchup Wednesday is also a Draft Wednesday. And if you haven't joined Draft, you got to do so right now. It's a fun and easy way to play fantasy football. It's not that salary cap type format. It's just a snake draft. And it's a good way if you've lost guys for the season that you drafted a long time ago. You can reset the whole season in 1 week here in week 13. The best of all, it's fast, it's fun, and we have a promo code LONFL that I mentioned, the league that I created there that you can draft in. You use that promo code LONFL, you can get your deposit match for that $3 game, so it's free. You can try it out and go head-to-head with me there and see how you do. And it's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. I love playing a real live snake draft. You're done in under 5 minutes, and you only have to play for 1 week, and you can start over and do it again. And you can play for cold, hard cash. It doesn't get better than that. And your chances of winning are actually a whopping 80% better than that of the salary cap sites. And all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. So listen to Locked On Fantasy Football. You're in luck because you can use that promo code LONFL. And reminder, we will have that draft here for listeners to Locked On Fantasy Football at 1:30 p.m. Eastern today on Wednesday. And hopefully we'll be able to do another one here, and look out for that on Twitter and Facebook. I'll make sure that you can get in the action in many ways going forward here as we close the season. It's a good time to stay in fantasy football, even if you're out of it for the big prize in your year-long leagues. Let's continue with the breakdown of these games and see who you might want to draft later today. And this game, there's some sleepers there for sure. It's the Broncos and Dolphins, and two teams that are kind of a defensive funk right now. So let's start with the Broncos. And Trevor Siemian, we actually welcome this move here, because I think with Brock Osweiler, remember Demaryius Thomas was the guy that got in the end zone a couple times. I think it's a good thing for Emmanuel Sanders. He really struggled with Paxton Lynch in there. The targets just didn't come his way to come through. Paxton was just forcing the ball to him. Look at this Dolphins secondary. Just gives up a ton of big plays to fast, quick guys in the Sanders mold. So he's the receiver I really like. I like Thomas, of course. He's an every week guy. The secondary is just such a mess right now that Siemian at least can facilitate to get the ball downfield to those guys. And I think it's also a good spot for Devontae Booker. The Dolphins have struggled with those type of versatile backs that have some juice and speed. So speed and quickness are going to be a factor here for maybe Broncos waking up a little bit out of their offensive slump. It's still kind of a make-or-break game. The over-under is at 38, but I think these teams can go over just because the defenses are playing so poorly. So Siemian actually makes you feel a lot better about the Broncos around him. C.J. Anderson, I noticed this about the Dolphins, is that they've given up multiple big games within games to multiple backs. So I've seen that with Jonathan Stewart and Christian McCaffrey. That's happened here a couple weeks ago. We saw that last week with Lewis and Burkhead for the Patriots. So there are opportunities there. If Anderson and Booker are in timeshare, I think they both can have nice value for you this week. On the Dolphins side of things, you got to like one particular guy, Julius Thomas. The Broncos are really lost in covering tight ends at this point, and Julius Thomas coming off a strong game, 5 for 52 there against the Patriots. It's the one place where they're going to attack. Keep in mind that Chris Harris Jr. is still in this one. No Aqib Talib, so that actually kind of helps Devontae Parker a little bit, and Kenny Stills in three receiver sets. But Chris Harris Jr. is still in there, so I think that could be a very tough matchup for Jarvis Landry. So that, in theory, should open up things in the middle of the field for Thomas. The Broncos cannot cover tight ends. I think you can also see Kenyon Drake be effective as a receiver. No Damian Williams in the game with that shoulder injury. So Drake is going to be treated like a feature back, which means he's going to get the passing game stuff. So Broncos cannot cover backs and tight ends. That's where you attack them. Doesn't matter who's quarterbacking. I think that's where they're going to go mainly for Miami. So cooling on the Dolphins receivers, I can't go with Landry and DFS for that reason because of Harris and his ability to contain him at least. And outside, they're still pretty good even without Tlaib. So I think it's going to be a lot of middle of the stuff there. I like Miami to win this game because they can control the clock a little bit and make some decisions late, which could be a sneaky high-scoring game. I stay away from both defenses. It might look like a good spot here overall. I think you can roll the dice, but I think it's just very risky because this could, again, like the Chicago-San Francisco game, turn it higher scoring than you think with a lot of defensive lapses for sure. Our next game, staying in the 1 o'clock window, is the Texans and Titans, and I think this is going to be interesting as well. Because you look at Tom Savage, he's played a little bit better. He went over the 250-yard mark. I know he's still not playing great, and they're ready to bench him if he keeps turning over the ball. He had a couple picks there against the Ravens. But he's getting the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. His Titans secondary is not very good. So there's some other guys there that can make some plays, Bruce Ellington and Braxton Miller. I don't think Will Fuller is going to play again with the ribs injury. It's going to be hard for the Texans to traditionally run the ball, so you can see a lot of dump-offs to Lamar Miller as well here. So I like the Texans to play a little bit better than people expect in this one for sure. Their receivers and passing game matches up well away from Savage on this Titans secondary, and he's getting the ball out quickly, and that's going to help a little bit here as they try to cut down on turnovers and they can move the ball. So it's not thrilling, but at least you can trust Hopkins and Savage to have some connections here and Miller to be productive all around as a back with no Dante Foreman for the season. On the Titans side of things, Rishard Matthews, let's hope he comes back from a hamstring injury. This is a very good matchup for him and Delanie Walker. We've seen Marcus Mariota, when he wants to get out of the slump, he's going to go heavy on Walker and Matthews and not really force the ball to Corey Davis. And Corey Davis was having trouble with his blocking. Eric Decker is limited, so he really needs Matthews in there to make Mariota really worth it here. Had that combination of Matthews and Walker, that's when Mariota's at his best. With this running attack, I'll be a little bit careful with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. The Titans have struggled a little bit to run the football as effectively in tougher matchups. The Texans are generally good against the run. I think their numbers were inflated a little bit with Joe Flacco's random rushing in Baltimore. But Murray and Henry, that's always a tough thing. It's very touchdown dependent at the moment to trust either because you don't know the workload versus Murray and Henry from week to week, and the Titans defense, proceed with caution here because I think the Texans, like I said, with Deshaun Watson, they blew the Titans out of the building. Tom Savage, they're obviously not going to do that, but they can at least make things interesting, maybe score into the 20s here and really limit the damage that the Titans defense can do here, even at home against this Savage-led team. Our next game is the Jaguars and Colts, so staying in the AFC South. And the Jaguars in the first matchup shut out the Colts, so you really can't trust too much here on the Colts side. I think the only guy that I feel comfortable with is Jack Doyle, because the Jaguars, you can beat them with the tight ends. We saw Ricky Seals-Jones keep up his hot play for Arizona against this team last week, so the set corners of this Jaguars team, A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey, are just so difficult. That's just another nightmare for T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief. Forget about those guys. So a lot of Doyle in the middle of the field, and he's out there a lot. Even in garbage time, he can pick up some yards for you. So, and Brissett, we know from the sacks last week, 8 against the Titans. He's playing Saxonville. He's going to get the ball out as quickly as possible. So Doyle, I think you have to hope for like a 6-for-70 type game at this point. I don't know if he'll get to the 90 receiving yards he had plus last week, but he is really the number one target, and especially in a game like this. So let's hope the Colts can score at least a few points in this one, and maybe Doyle is the guy that dents the end zone. So that's the only Colt I like. On the Jaguars side of things, we've seen Blake Bortles go up and down. We saw these matchups. Somehow he came through last week because of the two rushing touchdowns. Cleveland, however, 2 weeks ago was disappointing. So I think just don't force him in there, and don't expect a lot from Marquise Lee either in this one. I just think the Jaguars will go very run heavy. And it's not just Leonard Fournette. Last week in Arizona, TJ Yeldon actually outsnapped Fournette. Fournette is really hurting with that ankle injury. So you could see a big committee with Fournette and Yeldon mainly, maybe a little of Chris Ivory sprinkled in there. You see a touchdown randomly to Mercedes Lewis in this one. But the best play of them all, as it has been all season for the Jaguars, even ahead of Fournette, is their defense. And still came through with giving up a lot of points last week with a scoop and score. They blanked this team. I don't see it being much better in the rematch for the Colts on the road. Our next game, and the 1 o'clock slate is very busy, obviously, with every team in action and not playing on Thursday with more than one game. You have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the Green Bay Packers, an old NFC Central shootout. And Jameis Winston is intriguing here because Ryan Fitzpatrick we liked as a potential streamer, but now Jameis Winston is the streamer all of a sudden because he looks like he could come back from the shoulder injury this week. So you look at this matchup, it's pretty darn good for Mike Evans. I mean, you have to expect Mike Evans to do something in this game for sure against this Packers secondary that just got eaten up by Antonio Brown. Mike Evans has been somewhat disappointing. He's been solid with the 100-yard games and 90-yard games here and there, but he's just dropped a lot of potentials for big games. And I think this could be one of them for sure, especially if Winston comes back. He's doing pretty well with Fitzpatrick in there as well. So Evans and DeSean Jackson, you got to like a lot in this game. The Packers are actually good against the tight end, so I think you'll see a lot of outside throws to Jackson and Evans and highly targeted here against this secondary. In the backfield, this is an important thing to watch here. You have a Doug Martin coming off the concussion, the ineffectiveness there. They're already transitioning a little bit to Jaquizz Rodgers. Peyton Barber got the fantasy love in the red zone with the two scores, but I expect Rodgers, we saw this last year, if Martin has to miss time, that Rodgers is going to see a lot of volume. He's the better pass catcher as well. And the game flow with the Packers offense suddenly coming to life here with Brett Hundley, it's going to favor Rodgers getting quite a bit of touches. So if Martin is definitely out with that concussion, I would see about 15 to 20 touches easily for Rodgers, and that's worth a start against a Packers defense that's struggling all around. And we saw them give up a boatload of receptions to Le'Veon Bell. Not saying Jaquizz Rodgers, Le'Veon Bell, but that is definitely a weak part of the Packers defense, as well as their outside coverage on wide receivers such as Evans and Jackson. On the Packers side of things, Davante Adams, keep rolling with him. This is an awful secondary for Tampa Bay. The question is, how much do you trust Jordy Nelson to suddenly come alive? I don't know if I can, just because the targets are not there. It doesn't matter what the matchup is. Brett Hundley's just not going that way. He's going a lot to Adams. He just feels comfortable with him. He's practiced a lot with him over the years. So Nelson, it's very hard to go that way. I think it's a bit of a boom or bust type situation. He could easily go 3 catches, 20 yards, somewhere there. He could also maybe have one long play for a touchdown, as bad as this Bucs secondary is. So that's a bit risky. So maybe Nelson is your sneaky GPP play this week and because of that potential here. But Adams is a safer cash game play for sure against this secondary. Jamal Williams, what can you say? I mean, going in, remember, he was the more hyped rookie over Aaron Jones, and now Jones has been down, Ty Montgomery's been down. Jamal Williams is taking this job and running with it, and he's an RB1 at this point with the volume and production that he's on the field a lot. That's just an amazing transition here for the Packers that things have opened up for Williams. When it was Jones just a few weeks ago and Montgomery early in the season, weird year for the Packers backfield, but Williams and Adams are the two guys you feel the best about. And Hundley, if you're looking for a streamer, that Steelers game should give you a lot more confidence that he can get the job done. Maybe a sneaky stack there in a GPP, maybe with Nelson or Adams. So keep that in mind. It will allow you to really load up on other players in the matchup. There's nothing that is too daunting about it. Our next game at 1 p.m. is the Chiefs and Jets. This is the last 1 p.m. game we'll talk about. Chiefs, what do you trust here? I don't know if you can trust anything except Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill at this point. Kareem Hunt, yeah, you're playing him. He's going to get the volume. Hopefully, at some point, he'll turn around. The Jets are not the most daunting run defense here in the world. So Kareem Hunt has not really run well. This blocking has been letting him down, and Alex Smith's play is also hurting Hunt because they can't stay in the game flow. I actually kind of like the Jets to steal this one because the way Josh McCown is playing, the way Robbie Anderson, Jermaine Kearse are playing outside, and this Chiefs defense can't put pressure on the quarterback. They really can't cover, and they're vulnerable against the run. You just can't trust the Jets' backfield right now with that split of Matt Forte, Bilal Powell, and Elijah McGuire. When they're all in it, nobody wins, especially fantasy players. So I think you could look at Anderson. You got to keep him in your lineup. He's just a scoring machine at this point. Jermaine Kearse, deeper play, maybe GPP after getting 11 targets and being very productive against the Panthers last week. He'll get a favorable matchup probably against Tremont Williams in this one as well. So keep that in mind. So McCown and Anderson for sure. McCown in deeper league, I think you could sneak into backdoor QB1 with this matchup. And Anderson, I mean, you have to say right now he's on the borderline wide receiver 2-1 with his amazing production and scoring every week. At this point with the Chiefs, you look at Alex Smith and his struggles, you absolutely can't look to him in this matchup, especially when Cam Newton really didn't do anything last week either. So we know Alex Smith is not playing anywhere near as well as Cam Newton is at the moment, so go away from them. But Hunt, if you stick with him, I think you'll be pleased and you'll get a little bit of a rebound in this one. I mean, we've been expecting that for the past 2 weeks. This actually might happen because they got to get away from Alex Smith and trusting him. And Travis Kelce, you look at the Jets, they're vulnerable to the tight ends. There were definitely opportunities there for Greg Olsen and Ed Dixon last week. So Kelce should have a rebound here. I think you'll see a lot of simplicity here with a lot of Hill, Kelce, and Hunt. At some point, it's got to happen, and this is as good a time as any with the season being lost here quickly for the Chiefs and Andy Reid. Make sure you're checking out all the great podcasts on the Locked On Network. We've got you covered whether you're a fan of the Chiefs or the Jets or the Buccaneers or Packers. You can listen to our Locked On team-specific shows. It's like getting your own beat report delivered to you every day of the week, and you listen to those shows and you're going to be an expert on every team, just like you should be an expert on fantasy football listening Locked On Fantasy Football as well. So love to be part of the team, love listening to all those other guys and what they have to say every week, and so should you. Check out all the shows on the Locked On NFL Network. Now we'll close with the late afternoon games and the night games here of week 13, Sunday and Monday. Our first and marquee of the afternoon games, the Panthers and Saints. And high over under, as you expect in this one. Saints barely favored, so it should be a pretty good shootout here. 48 right there. I think the Panthers, you have to see if Marshawn Lattimore and Ken Crawley miss the game. I'm not sure that this team is going to be suddenly pass happy if that happens. I think they still want to run the football. I think both teams want to run the football. And the Panthers have the easier matchup, but the Saints have the more commitment to it, so, and have had the more success overall. So let's start with the Panthers. And I think you have to think Christian McCaffrey's a solid play as well as Devin Funchess. I think you still go with Cam Newton this one. I think he can get you two scores and run for some yards as well. And don't be looking and chasing the previous matchup or be disappointed what he did against the Jets. He's an up-and-down guy. You know that. This is a game, a big spot. It's a national spotlight. And, you know, Panthers get the best out of Cam Newton in those situations. So you got to like Newton here. I think McCaffrey and Funchess are excellent plays, as well as RB2 and wide receiver 1-2 borderline, respectively, here. So keep that in mind, especially if Lattimore is out again. It looks like that will be the case, and Crawley's out too. So I wouldn't extend beyond that in the pass game. You're not sure with Greg Olsen if he's going to have to sit again with that foot injury after aggravating a little bit at Dixon. It's a hit or miss there, but McCaffrey, Funchess, and Newton are not a bad little trio to play this week in DFS either. I think from the Saints side of things, they're going to try to run the ball as much as they can to play keep away from Cam Newton, get him off the field. Their defense got a little broken down last week without those two corners in there. Cameron Jordan did his best to keep things going, but the Saints want to control this clock, build a lead here. So you're going to see a lot of Mark Ingram. He'll rebound from that game in Los Angeles. Alvin Kamara is just going to keep it up. He didn't have any problems in L.A. So I see a lot of Ingram and Kamara, probably a lot of Michael Thomas with this Panthers secondary struggling. He had a nice game against them the first time, maybe a little bit of Ted Ginn, who also exploited this secondary. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of running from the Saints that sets up those deep throws. So I think you'll have good games from Ingram, Kamara, Drew Brees, Michael Thomas, and Ted Ginn in this one. Kobe Fleener has a concussion, so I don't think he's going to be part of the passing game, but I think you want to get all your Saints principles in and all your Panthers principles in. And I kind of like the Saints defense to make a big play in this one at the end, too. You're better at home. Jordan can get revved up here, and I think you'll get some turnovers from Newton as well as maybe some good production there as well. The Panthers defense, you absolutely cannot go with them, even though they had the explosive 2-touchdown game with Luke Kuechly scoop there and the special teams return touchdown. But the Jets, you can't trust them on the road against the Saints. Our next game is not as juicy here as the Browns and Chargers. Well, at least not as juicy on one side. I think this is a horrible matchup for the Browns all around. So Duke Johnson Jr., the one guy I can trust because game flow independent and going to get a lot of touches. I like Isaiah Crowell to fall back to earth this week. And Corey Coleman, I think you can play him as a wide receiver 3. But keep in mind, this is a very good Chargers secondary led by Casey Hayward. So not much I like upside-wise with the Browns, except for Johnson getting some garbage production there in the second half. For the Chargers, I pretty much like everything. Melvin Gordon, I know the Browns have been tough on the run, but they kind of broke down and wore down a little bit against Joe Mixon. So I can see Gordon having that type of game. Austin Eckler having deep league flex appeal if this game flow gets out of hand. The Chargers are favored by 13. He could do what he did there. That Bills game could be a very repeat of that with Gordon and Eckler. And the Chargers, Keenan Allen, Phillip Rivers, another great time to stack them, third straight week for that. Rivers is red hot right now. He runs hot and cold, and him and Allen are just completely on fire. I think Hunter Henry comes back into play as well at tight end. The Browns cannot cover the tight end, so Henry had a nice game in Dallas, so you'd expect a lot of Henry, a lot of Keenan Allen in this one, and a lot of Gordon and Eckler. So great spot for the Chargers all around. And the defense, I mean, that's off the charts good matchup here with Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Hayward on the back end. A lot of chances for big plays. Could be a very much carbon copy of the Bills game. I don't know if they'll put up a 50 burger, but the Chargers should be in control all around in this one, and be a fun game for them as they creep back into playoff contention. The Rams travel to the Cardinals in another game in this 4 o'clock window. The Cardinals were shut out in the first matchup and lost Carson Palmer. I think they'll play a little bit better in this one. I think you can run on the Rams. So Adrian Peterson, if you need him, he's not a bad RB2 play this week. Larry Fitzgerald had a really terrible game against the Jaguars, but that was the Jaguars. The Rams secondary can't handle him as well in the slot. So I think there are some good guys on that secondary, but Fitzgerald should have a bounce-back game. Ricky Seals-Jones, I think you have to look at him just because of the volume and targets he's getting there with Blaine Gabbert. The chemistry is certainly there. But the Rams are pretty tough on that position. They have been all season because they're good at inside coverage overall. But a guy like Fitzgerald is going to be more the role of the tight end type for the Cardinals this week. So Peterson and Fitzgerald, if you need them, you can go there. I don't think I extend more than that as the Rams defense is playing better overall. From the Rams side of things, you got to like the the matchup for Cooper Kupp working inside. I don't really like it for Sammy Watkins. He's going to get a lot of Patrick Peterson. It's a speed-on-speed matchup, especially with no Robert Woods in there for another week. So Watkins got a big break with no Lattimore last week. He's not going to get that break with Peterson in there for the Cardinals this week. So go off Peterson. I think Todd Gurley can have another big game here. The Cardinals have been very good against the run. They shut down Leonard Fournette last week. So that's one thing they do pretty well. So temper expectations, but I think you'll see a lot of Gurley in the passing game to make up for it, especially with Watkins covered. I think you can see a Kupp, Gurley, a lot of things from Jared Goff there. And Goff, what can you say? Another good spot for him to keep it going. I wouldn't expect a high ceiling, but I could easily see 250 yards and a couple scores here being an easy reach for him, and I like the Rams to win this game overall. Our next matchup in our last of the 4 o'clock, 425 window is the Giants and Raiders. The big news was that Geno Smith is starting over Eli Manning. Yes, it's hard to believe, but the Giants are making that ridiculous move. So I don't know what you can do to trust this passing game. We're not even so sure if Sterling Shepard is going to come back from the migraines. Evan Ingram, it's a good matchup, but we're not sure what the Smith-Ingram connection is. So puts a lot of question marks about this Giants offense going forward. We also don't know, is it going to be more Orleans Darkwa, or going to turn the page there to youth with Wayne Gallman in the backfield? So a lot of messy things about this Giants offense right now. A lot of transition. Geno just kind of makes everything cave in a little bit. So unfortunately, you can't really trust much on the Giants there at all in this game. And the Raiders, it's hard to trust too, because you have no Amari Cooper, probably with a concussion. We know it's not going to be a Michael Crabtree game. His suspension got reduced, but it's still one game, so he's going to miss this game. So you're not sure if it's going to be Seth Roberts, who's mainly a slot guy, or Cordell Patterson, or Johnny Holton getting involved here. I would expect it's a lot of Patterson, because that's where Carr has the most trust. Darren Roberts has been a little bit disappointing working the slot, even though he's gotten more snaps when Crabtree was out of there in that game. So I think you'll see a lot of Marshawn Lynch in this one. The Giants' run defense is a little worn down. The Raiders are going to try to play ball control and close out this game. I think they'll have the ball a lot with Geno Smith on the other side. So I'll see a high volume for Marshawn Lynch. I feel really good about him this week. We saw that happen last week when Cooper and Crabtree were out. It was all the Lynch show. They got him up close to 30 touches he produced in the passing game. The Raiders kept it simple, and it's gotten them back in this AFC West race, and I think they'll follow suit again here. Derek Carr, I liked him if he had his receivers in there, but you just don't know with Roberts and Patterson where those touchdowns are going to come from. It could be a lot more Lynch closing, a lot of Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington making up as well for those receivers being out. So Lynch you got to like after Samaj Perine really burst through this Giants defense with a lot of tough running. And the Raiders defense only comes to play with Khalil Mack against Geno Smith as well. Eli at least was trying to avoid sacks and protect the ball. Geno, we know his past is about turnovers and being very messy, and that could definitely happen in this one. Now we transition to the night games, and this is the marquee game maybe of the week, and we saved the best for almost the last here with the Eagles and Seahawks. Carson Wentz and Russell Wilson, let's hope it's a back-and-forth affair in the past game that we expect. I think the only two elements I stay away from in this game, well, for the most part, are the defenses and the running games. I just don't like the running back by committee against a tough Seahawks run defense on the same side. I'm not going to force Mike Davis or Eddie Lacy or J.D. McKissick against a pretty good Eagles run defense and active linebackers at all. So keep that in mind as well. So I think I just go with the principles here. I really like all the Eagles receivers you can get in there. It's not daunting anymore. There's no Cam Chancellor. There's no Richard Sherman. So Alshon Jeffrey gets a break. Zach Ertz gets a break. Nelson Agholor is usable here in the slot as the Seahawks are thin there in the secondary as well. So looks like Shaquille Griffin will play. So that's probably going to hurt Torrey Smith, but he's not a big factor in this offense anyway. So you could look at a lot of Jeffrey, Ertz, and Agholor here to help Carson Wentz on his day here for sure. when you look at the Seahawks side of thing, I think this Eagles secondary is still pretty vulnerable. We know Wilson can buy time against his pass rush to make some plays downfield. So Jimmy Graham, you will have to be locked and loaded with him as a touchdown machine. Doug Baldwin, I think, rebounds here as well. If you extend, you could go to Paul Richardson in this one too, with maybe a chance to make some big plays as well. So a lot of things in the Seahawks and Eagles passing games like. Not much in the running game, but about a lot of points. And it should be a fun one and a very profitable one for fantasy football players. And we go to our final game on Monday Night Football, the Steelers and Bengals. Another primetime shot for the Steelers, this time on the road. They're red hot right now. The principal killer bees are going after it. Ben Roethlisberger stays hot here. I think the road, don't worry about it too much. The way Antonio Brown is just eating things up. Martavis Bryant popped back up with Juju Smith-Schuster out. Smith-Schuster, we'll see if he can play with that hamstring. Even if he's out, you got to like Bell, Bryant, and Brown really helping Roethlisberger have another good day here for sure. They like to eat up the Bengals. Bengals have done some things to bottle up Brown in the past and contain Bell, but I just don't like the way their defense is right now. They've gotten away with playing some really bad teams. When they play good teams in prime time, they usually fold. So I really like all the main Steelers guys that you can get in. Bryant, for sure. If Smith-Schuster misses the game, I go back to Smith-Schuster ahead of Bryant if it looks like he's going to play, and we have to know that by Sunday morning to really trust that. On the Bengals side of things, you got to like the Steelers' defense in primetime, even on the road, because Andy Dalton is bad in primetime. For sure, A.J. Green you're going with, but I don't think you extend here too much. A.J. Green and Joe Mixon, and that's pretty much it that you like on the Bengals' side. You can go back to dropping their defense, playing the Steelers' offense, even with the primetime home bump here against the Steelers. I don't really see that many points being scored from the Bengals' side. So there you have it. Another edition of Matchup Wednesday for Locked On Fantasy Football is in the books. Thanks so much for listening. And as a reminder, again, join my draft there on Draft at 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be a lot of fun. Join the thousands of people that have played on Draft, and make sure you use that promo code LONFL. To get that free entry on that $3 game, four-person draft. So should be a lot of fun. Hope you can join, and thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe on iTunes to get this podcast delivered to you on a regular basis. For the entire Locked On NFL Network and Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll talk to you tomorrow for Lineup Thursday to close the week.